All right, everyone, welcome back into another Fantasy Golf video touching on the Wyndham Championship in this video. And typically, I like to start out the video with a recap from the previous week. Guys, last week, it was probably my worst week by far ever. Okay, I'm going to blame the baby, newborn baby, lack of sleep. But no, we know that last week was very much a high variance week. It just happens. But no, by far, like times two, my worst week ever. Obviously, hope to bounce back. But instead of doing the recap from last week, I will say the winning lineup was all top 65 or better in the 9-to-5 model. That was nice to see. Ownership leverage was still pretty good as well in terms of giving you guys an edge. So it's not like it was a terrible data week, but my application of the data was bad. With that being said, I just want to call it an update that I made to kind of the 9-to-5 homepage here. Anytime you guys want access to the 9-to-5 write-up, you can see that right here. And then also just get the latest videos as well. It's going to be on the 9-to-5 homepage. And then while we're at it, I do want to call it just some slight updates that I made to the 9-to-5 cheat sheet. So we'll see that I have kind of color coordinated as well to make it easier to see. Have added in some cell borders as well so that when people are coming in seeing the 9-to-5 cheat sheet, they can go ahead and see which data they want to see a little bit easier, okay? So we can see course history, key stats, recent form, projection data. Then also a very fun update that you guys will see is I add in a little photo there for players that are rookies and whatnot, where their photo might not be pulling in correct. But if we just go ahead and look at the past results here, we do get a common theme here is that we see a certain type of player that tends to play well. These kind of short knockers, these guys are going to put the ball on the green, maybe make some putts. We do see strokes and putting be kind of a key stat as well, but it's really put the ball in the fairway, hit some greens, hit some putt. I'm still very tilted about Kevin Kisner's win 2 years ago where there were seven players in a playoff and I had three, I believe, of the seven, and they didn't stand a chance. Two of them were long shot bets as well. Kind of a bittersweet one there. But we kind of know what to expect key stat-wise. It's pretty easy. So with that being said, let's just check out which players are going to be the top stat fit. So we're looking at birdie or better percentage, strokes gained putting, good drive percentage, and strokes gained approach. Also looking at greens in regulation as well. But just looking at that, we can see which players are going to be the best stat fits based off of those constraints. Brennan Todd going to be popping up there. Danny McCarthy going to be popping up in there. Sanjay M, Nate Lashley, Dylan Wu, Adam Hadwin, Adam Scott, Kevin Yu. Kevin Yu is going to be a favorite play of mine this week again. Andrew Putnam going to be popping up in there. Aaron Rye, Keith Mitchell as well. The issue that we're going to see this week is that there's a lot of bad plays. Like last week was kind of interesting with the pricing. This week is as well. Let's just take a peek at which golfers have the best course history. And so what I want to do is I want to sort by golfers that have multiple starts at this tournament. So we see Sanjay M finishing 2nd, 24th, 9th, and 6th. Great course history for him. Billy Horschel, 27th, 2nd, and 6th. Russell Henley, 3 straight top 10 finishes. He's going to be a popular name this week. Cameron Davis, 15th and 22nd. Benny Ann, 35th and 3rd. Alex Smalley, Richie Rowenski, Brian Stewart, Chesson Hadley. We got a lot of golfers that are going to have a lot of good course history. That's the biggest takeaway, okay? At least a decent amount of starts. And so I do think we are going to default to golfers that do have some sort of good course history. 3 out of 4 make cuts, 2 out of 3 make cuts with a top 10 finish, like Danny McCarthy here. Probably not going to be too worried about his miscut. That's going to be the approach that I think we are going with this week. JT Poston, extremely interesting. 21st, 2 miscuts, and then a first. So interesting in that regard. Let's just go ahead and take a quick peek at recent form and specialist data, and then we'll be getting into the top picks. So looking at Stefan Jaeger, and this, guys, this is why I like, I don't know. It's got the 9-to-5 little tie going on there. The color scheme, I like it. But Jaeger, okay. Jaeger has been coming in the best recent, okay. And that's going to be due to the amount of made cuts that he's made as well. You know, if you look at his last 5 starts, he would rank 3rd. But when you factor in his made cut percent, a little bit higher there. JT Poston, best for the past 5 starts. We go back further, kind of struggling. So he is someone that we could shoot for upside with, given the fact that he has a 2nd, 6th, and 6th, 3 straight top 10 finishes. So I don't mind that. Eric Cole, also someone that has a big made cut streak with 7 straight. He's going to be popping up in there with some really good form. Shane Lowry, 1 missed cut recently at the Open Championship. Maybe we give him a slight pass there. Other than that, I have been playing pretty well. Justin Suh. This is an interesting thing this week. Justin Suh and Jaeger are kind of very similar plays to me. Yes, Jaeger has had more upside recently, we know that. But the fact that Suh and Jaeger have just been made cut machines, we are getting a very similar play at a much cheaper price tag. Andrew Putnam, a player that I've been on a ton, I think I'm going to be going back to the well with him. This should be a good course for him. And then we get to Hideki. It takes that long to get to Hideki, one of the top plays in the field for good form. That tells us really the struggle of this week, I would say. Yes, we know Hideki, Sungjae, we know those players are going to have good upside. The worry is the risk that they have, okay? That's my biggest worry. Let's go ahead and take a quick peek at specialist data. And just as an FYI, it is a par 70. That is being filtered into the data, just as an FYI. I need to refresh this graphic, just as an FYI. But looking at it real quick, what I want to look for is going to be looking at Donald Ross course players, which players have played well on those tracks. Remember, this is going to be no minimum on the starts, and it's going to be looking at their last five starts. So like Carl Yana, I'm sure he just has one start mixed in there. But Taylor Pendrith, Eric Cole, Troy Money Merritt, interesting there. Chris Kirk, Taylor Moore, Russell Henley. A lot of interesting names I like right here, actually. So I think that's one thing we could be looking at. Green speeds. The greens are going to be pretty fast. We could be looking at that. Greens width. Maybe we want to look at Bermuda greens. We could factor that in there. But location. I'm very curious about location. Which players have played well in North Carolina-based tracks? Brandon Wu, Billy Horschel, Taylor Moore, Alex Smalley, JT, Russell Henley, Matt Kuchar. Kind of no real shocks there. And that's really it, guys. Like, I don't think we need to dive too much into the specialist data too much. Maybe we go with style, Parkland style course. But if you look at Donald Ross courses, you're pretty much pulling that data in there as well. So let's go ahead and get into the top plays for this week. And I want to start off with calling out this. Like, last week, we only had two players that were like considered core plays via data. One of them made the cut, one of them missed the cut. That should tell you the week of last week. And so what goes into the data tags is which players are the statistical plays that we should be on based off of the previous season. And so we are going to see we have no core plays, zero core plays. That should tell us the variance that we can expect this week. I want to point that out. And I also want to point out just how many fades we have. Players that are coming in as like statistical fade. And what I mean by this is there, you kind of want to look at it maybe in terms of like players checking the box. These are players that, given their price tag, are not checking enough boxes to be considered as good plays. Now, I do want to mention Justin Thomas. We know he's been struggling with his golf swing. We know that. There isn't as much trouble this week, so maybe we don't have to worry about that with Justin Thomas. Maybe. But he's a player you certainly could be on if you wanted to be on. But look at this. Like, we have so many fades this week, especially over 7K. It's very interesting in that regard. And then last, I do just want to call it like outright tags. We only have four players that are like considered good outright bets via the data from the past two seasons, like players that check the boxes for golfers that have won over the past two seasons. Hideki, Siwoo Kim, Aaron Rye, and Chris Kirk. So once again, very much worrisome, especially given their model rank. Okay, so now let's go and get to the top plays for this week. So I do think like Sungjae Im and Hideki, they should be good enough plays. I mean, Sungjae just couldn't get anything going. That was kind of strange to see him like continue to struggle, especially on a track that he's played extremely well at. Hideki really had things going and then just had a bad round three. That really sunk his week. Still a top 30 finish. I do expect Hideki to make the cut, but we'll see. Hideki has two missed cuts mixed in here at this track, and really key stat wise, you know, not terrible, only 13th, and model rank wise, really not the best. And that is going to be coming in off a terrible course history. That's like the biggest factor in that. Okay. Other than that, like, we do expect him to make the cut and whatnot, but there is some worry with him, especially given the price tag. Like, I do expect him to make the cut. I do expect him to finish top 30. There is just some worry there. I think we'd be much better off going with someone like Russell Henley. Okay, Russell Henley, a little bit more risk reward. We know that. Okay, Russell Henley is coming in off of a miscut at the Open Championship. I think for Russell Henley's sake, for some of these plays like that, I think we can kind of just look past that a little bit, just given the fact that not the best course in general. We look at this course, tremendous success. Maybe there's a little bit of the Carolina ties there as well. He's a South Carolina guy. This course takes place in North Carolina. Maybe there's something there, but we look at the course history, three straight top 10 finishes. Love to see that. Four straight make cuts. Love to see that there as well. We can see looking back further, 35th, 19th, 14th, 18th, 15th for recent form. It wouldn't be shocking to see him have a good finish here. Okay, looking at the stat fit, could be a little bit better there. Like the fact that the good drive percentage is there, like the fact that the strokes gained approach is there as well. All in all, he should be a good play for us this week. I'm not going to say he's the starting point, but he is someone that, if I'm paying up for someone, I kind of feel more comfortable paying up for Russell Henley, which does seem strange to say. So from there, someone like Adam Scott is also kind of popping up. Now, Adam Scott has been extremely annoying because his missed cuts this season have been because of a couple of bad shots, really. You look at the Genesis Scottish Open, he made a triple bogey on a hole that he shouldn't have made a triple bogey on. We look at his course history, 76th and second. We look at the stat fit. He's going to be fifth in birdie or better percentage. Kind of like that. Strokes gained approach, sixth there. Strokes gained putting, 32nd there. So like, all in all, not terrible. He is going to be the number one specialist in the field for whatever that's worth. This week, I don't think we have to look at that too much. But all in all, like, a pretty solid play across the board. He's actually coming in as the third best play this week. So if you end up on Adam Scott, I'm not going to blame you. It is a play that does make sense. And looking at JT Poston, I do think JT Poston is going to be a good GPP play. Last week, I mentioned, like, Emiliano Grillo was a GPP-only play. Couldn't play him in cash, but the upside was undeniable with him. I kind of feel like that's going to be the exact same for JT Poston this week. I actually might have said that for JT Poston last week as well. But JT Poston is definitely going to be an interesting play, given the fact that he is a defending champ, given the fact that he does have three top 10 finishes over his past four starts, and he is a North Carolina guy, okay? He was born in North Carolina. He currently resides in Georgia, but he did go to school in North Carolina as well. So he does have those North Carolina ties. I kind of expect him to have a good week. It's tough to deny kind of the recent form there. And if we look at his missed cut at the Travelers Championship, one bad round there, kind of give him a pass at the U.S. Open. But all in all, love to see that he is playing some good golf. But, you know, kind of like Lucas Glover, where he had three straight really good finishes, it's not a lock and load play, okay? Probably not even a cash play, more of a shoulder short cash play. Like, if you end up on him, sure, it's going to be tough to pay up for plays this week, and we might be forced to pay up for him. And that's kind of it for, like, the high tier guys. Looking at, like, JT, you could try to force in there. Ludwig continues to be a golfer that comes in over own for some reason. Shane Lowry, once again, you can end up on. Sam Burns, wouldn't be surprising to see him play well. At the same time, not exactly something I'm banking on. So let's go ahead and move down into the mid-tier. The mid-tier, I think I'm going to be making a lot of my builds in the mid-tier. Because starting with, like, Jaeger. Jaeger has only missed three cuts on the season. Jaeger also finished 13th at this tournament last year. Has a missed cut 4 years ago. Not too worried about that. We look at the key stat data, 23rd in the field in birdie or better percentage, 12th in strokes gained approach, does struggle strokes gained putting. He's going to need a putt better, okay? We need that. If we're going to get a top finish out of him, top 20, top 15, we need him to putt better. That's going to be the biggest takeaway. But if we look at his player profile, we will see here that there is not much red going on here, or even orange. Like, for the most part, he is green across the board. And so it's no shock to me that he is coming in as the top play in the 9-5 mile, just given the fact that he has been on this huge mid-cut streak. He has played well at this tournament in the past, and he is going to be a good staff fit as well. Also the third best specialist in the field. So to me, it's not shocking that he's popping up as the best player in the 9-5 mile. To some, it might be. What you need to know about the data that I use, or kind of the formulas that I use to make the 9-5 data, is I'm focused on both safety and upside. And so it does favor golfers that are more likely to make the cut rather than a risk reward based play, like say JT Poston. You might argue that Poston has much more upside. I wouldn't disagree with you. That's not what this day is trying to do. This day is trying to give us the best chance to have a profitable week. So yeah, I do think Jaeger is going to be a good starting point. Then from there, you could easily go with someone like Denny McCarthy, like Russell Henley, missed the cut at the Open Championship. And I say like Russell Henley because I think these two plays are pretty similar plays. I don't really get the price difference. We can see a 6th, 7th, 2nd, a top 20. You know, Denny McCarthy has been a top 10 machine over the past 2 months, really. So he's going to be someone I think we should be looking at. And if we look at him as a play, like, this is a price tag that just doesn't make sense to me because he is a very similar play to Russell Henley. Miscut in his recent start, like, maybe that's why. But then 15th, 9th, and 22nd place finish. Key stat-wise, best staff in the field, actually. So birdie or better percentage, 25th in the field. Third best in strokes gained putting. Good drive percentage, could be a little bit better there, 76. And then 7th in strokes gained approach. So he's going to set himself up for a lot of chances to make some birdies. Now, if he's putting the ball well, we're probably going to get a top 10 finish. I don't like the fact that he's coming in off of a missed cut, both at the track, at this tournament, and recent form-wise, but at the same time, such a cheap price discount. He wouldn't be someone that I would typically put into a cash build because there is some risk associated with that, given the fact that he is coming in off of a miscut. But given the fact that it was a major championship, kind of giving him a pass, should still be a good play. But we could look at other plays. Like, Benny Ann is someone that is really popping up as a good play this week as well. Sure, he had a little two-week stretch in there where, you know, maybe kind of lack consistency, but still shot under par those 2 weeks. If he does that again in this field, which worse than the Rocket Mortgage and Travelers Championship, he should be able to make the cut. Okay, so at the Open Championship, finished 23rd. At the Genesis Scottish Open, finished 3rd. He has been playing some much better golf. Now, not going to be the best at fit, don't get me wrong there, but he is someone here that has good course history, 35th and 3rd for his course history. So like that from him. All in all, a good play across the board. If we want to add him, we certainly could. It's just, that's the struggle this week, is like there's a lot of names that I typically wouldn't feel comfortable clicking on that we're going to have to click on this week. Then from there, like, Taylor Moore makes sense. Bo Hosler, I think, is going to be a very interesting name, just given the fact that he has been playing some much better golf as of recent as well. We have seen some top 10 finishes out of him. I don't mind him. I see him more as a shoulder shrug play. Alex Smalley, Chris Kirk, those are going to be okay plays. Adam Habben, I don't mind. Gary Woodland, is he going to bounce back this week? You know, we'll see. He just really couldn't drive the ball well. I don't mind that, but let's go ahead and get into the low tier because I think we're going to be making a majority of our builds out of that range. Once again, the problem this week, like last week, is going to be the fact that we're going to have a lot of salary left over. Last week, that was the issue, and we saw that actually come to fruition, is that There's just a lack of safety on the high end. And maybe the strategy this week is to just have some salary left over. So let's look at some of the plays that I really like. We got Norman here, our outright winner from three events ago at the Barbasol Championship. Has since went 25th and 50th. One bad round last week at the 3M Open, shooting 73. Other than that, has been playing some pretty good golf. He is someone that doesn't have any course history, so there is that kind of concern there, and maybe we default to someone that does have course history over him. And that's not going to be Eric Cole here, but Eric Cole is someone that's really popping up as well. Fourth in the 9-5 model. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but looking at it, fourth best specialist, I think that's part of the reason as to why. Key stat wise, popping up in their top 20 stat fit. Recent form has been extremely solid. Okay, that's probably the biggest reason why, is because he's been on this big made cut streak recently. Good stat fits. I think that's the reason as to why he's pulling in as a pretty good play, especially considering the field that we have. Now, is he a core play? I struggle with that. Is he like someone that we need to be going up our way to roster? I kind of struggle with that, but given the field that we have, we might be forced into playing him, especially at this price tag. So for now, I'll plug him in there. And then from there, we do get a lot of interesting names. Like, I do expect Lucas Glover to play well. Webb Simpson has been someone that has been struggling this season. If he doesn't play well at this tournament, that'd be very shocking. Matt Kuchar is someone you would expect to play well at this tournament. Had a good week going last week. Really for the first two rounds, and then just couldn't score enough. Probably someone I expect to make the cut. We look at someone like Brendan Todd, though. Brendan Todd is going to be a very interesting click because he has been someone that has been playing much better as of recent. We look at it. Over his past five starts, pretty good. Like 49th, 2nd, 56th. Miscut here at the Travelers Championship where he opened with a 65 and then went 73. That was terrible, but still shot under par. Like, even the price tag that we're getting is not terrible. And if we look at it, course history has been good enough, finishing 36th, 10th, missed cut. Like, 2 out of 3, we'll take that. Stat fit-wise, going to be a good stat fit. We look at birdie or better percentage, top 20 in the field, top 20 in stroke game putting, good drive percentage, 36th, and then top 5 in stroke game approach. So, all in all, Brent Todd is going to be someone that should be a good play. Has been making cuts, has made cuts here. Good price tag. I don't mind him. Garrick Higo is going to be, I think, an interesting click for a lot of people, making 4 straight cuts in a row. He did miss the cut at this tournament last year, though. That's going to be a worry. I personally really like Justin Suh here, but we'll see. There are going to be other players that we could be on as well in this price range, but given the fact that he has been making a bunch of cuts in a row, 8 straight in a row, I think he's going to be a good click. I'm having a tough time not ending up on him, and I do want to call Andrew Putnam as well. Andrew Putnam, this should be kind of a good course for him. Strokes gain approach, 10th in the field, needs to make some more putts, really good at putting, top 10 in the field, needs to be a little bit better in his strokes gain approach to maybe set up some more birdie attempts. Okay, that's kind of what this is telling me here. But he did finish 27th at this tournament last year, miscut the year prior. All in all, though, 6 straight made cuts. He's been someone that we've been rostering a bunch. Really just coming in mispriced, I would say. Especially when you look at the golfers that have won at this tournament. Like, let's just look at him. Based off of the kind of players that we would say these guys are, Jim Herman, Kevin Kisner, JT Post, Brent Snedeker, even Stenz, they kind of fit that mold of Andrew Putnam. And then lastly, someone like Ben Griffin is someone that's kind of popping up there as well. 4th at this tournament last year, he's someone that kind of went through a little bit of a lull and has been playing much better as of recent. He is someone that does make a lot of birdies, and I just expect him to kind of continue that bounce back that he has had, making 3 out of his past 4 cuts. Now, for what it's worth, I don't mind going back to the well with Mark Hubbard. I think he's going to be a fine play. I do want to call Chesson Hadley, though. Kevin Yu, and just some other plays here real quick. Chad Ramey has made 6 straight cuts now. I think we can expect like a top 50 finish out of him. I think he'll be a good play. Kevin Yu, look at this, guys. Kevin Yu, birdie or better percentage, 1st. Good drive percentage, 2nd. Strokes gained approach, 3rd. And we look at the putting. We saw this happen last week when he was in contention. Missed a short 5-foot putt and then like 3 putted. That's just kind of him. I am willing to take that risk, though. Yes, we know he needs to make some putts. Maybe we get a spike week and he makes some putts. He is going to be a very good stat fit. He's going to be kind of underpriced considering how well he's played, kind of hit or miss nature wise. Makes for a good GPP play, makes for a good outright bet, not a cash play, but given the price tag, definitely interesting, definitely someone I could see in a winning GPP lineup. Hate the fact that he was in contention on Saturday and then fell off, though. Yeah, so looking at Chesson Hadley, I feel like this is an easy kind of click. He's made the cut of this tournament the past 4 years, obviously has the North Carolina ties, like to see that. We look at the recent form, pretty solid. I mean, he has made 5 cuts out of his past 6 starts, including a top 10 finish. He is someone that makes a lot of sense as an outright bet as well. It's going to be tough for me not to end up. I'm not sure. We wanted to be a little bit better stat fit, but nothing too alarming. Like, look at this. Like, nothing too alarming, especially when we look at the recent data as well. Certainly someone we can end up on. But that's kind of the issue that we are getting here. So we can go like Brent Todd, Justin Suh, Eric Cole, and then maybe we end up on Ben Griffin. Maybe we end up on Andrew Putnam. But this is the issue that I've had a lot thus far. And like, I don't even know if we need to play Eric Cole because I do like Hadley there as well. This is the issue that I've been having, is that we have so much salary left over. And honestly, I might just do that. Maybe change it slightly, but it kind of is what it is. So I want to call this out as well. Nagels Bagels on Twitter actually pointed this out. Ryan Gerard is also going to be someone that is a North Carolina-based player. I don't typically have rookies in that data, but he has been someone that has been playing well, and maybe those local ties carry him to a good finish as well. Trevor Cone is someone that's kind of popping up as well, just given the fact that he's played pretty solid over his past six starts now. Miscut at the John Deere Classic where, you know, shot under par. Not terrible. We'll take that. But Russell Knox is kind of an interesting price, just given the fact that he's been a made cut machine recently. I would have figured he'd be over at least 7K. This seems like a very cheap price tag for him, especially when we consider the fact that he has made four straight cuts in a row at this tournament. Now, Malo Ice is coming in 65th best in the field. So yes, we are shooting for maybe a little bit of upside there from him, maybe a little bit better finish. But all in all, I would say like he's probably a little bit better of a play than what the data is suggesting here. The price tag just seems strange to me. And then also a decent value play is going to be Justin Lauer. So real quickly, let's go and get into my core plays for this week. And this is going to be a weird core play, but I would say Andrew Putnam to me is going to be a good core play, just given the fact that he is going to be a good specialist for one. Look at the course history. Does worry me that he has only one made cut over two starts, and that made cut was only a top 30 finish, but he has been someone that has been playing extremely well this season as a whole. And he is someone that should be able to putt well enough. He just needs to be a little bit better at strokes and approach, hitting some greens and whatnot. But all in all, I really like the price tag that we are getting here on Andrew Putnam this week. And then to me, I am just going to continue to kind of roll with players that are making cuts. Like Justin Suh is someone that has been making cuts. He's someone that I kind of touted at the beginning of the season as a player that would be someone we'd roster a lot just because he is underpriced. And that has been something that has occurred really just across the board. Going to be a good enough play, maybe not exactly someone you want to go out of your way to play. I want to point out his key stats because yes, there is some worry there given the fact that he's not like elite in anything, but good enough, nothing too much of a worry there with Justin Suh. And then I also do really like Danny McCarthy. Now once again, does worry me that he has a recent miscut at this track, and then does worry me that he does have a recent miscut at the PGA Tour given the fact that he has three other good finishes at this tournament. I'm kind of willing to look past that. And given the fact that his miscut most recently on the PGA Tour was the Open Championship, and prior to that had a bunch of top 10 finishes, I am fine with that. We are getting him at such a cheap price tag. I am willing to look past that. And then Jaeger as well. Jaeger just continues to play well. He's going to be the top player in the 9-5 mile this week. To me, he's just kind of an easy click. His miscut this tournament was 4 years ago. That doesn't worry me. Stat fit wise, the biggest worry is going to be strokes gained putting. Needs to make some putt. He does. If he's going to win or even have a top 20 finish, needs to make some putts. But this shows us that given the fact that he's been in such good form this season, that he's still making cuts even while putting poorly. So that should be a situation which it can only get better. Fingers are crossed. And I mean, that's kind of it. Like Russell Henley, I'd be fine with. But you know, we get the same play in Denny McCarthy. That's the worry. So let's go ahead and show you guys that first look build again. And like, this is it. Like, it's just tough to say where we need to go up from. Sure, Brendan Todd, we could easily go up from. We have 10.9. We could literally pay up for anyone. Maybe go with Russell Henley. I'm kind of fine with that. Do we have to play Chesson Hadley? I don't think we have to. He is at a good price. We could easily go Eric Cole there as well. This is what I'm going to be doing this week, guys. I'm going to be kind of just mixing and matching a ton. I might not even have a main build this week. Maybe just a main kind of structure that I go with, but it's going to be entering a bunch of different lineups that are similar, but has a lack of like a core. I don't know if we are exactly getting locks. Let's put it that way. I think we get a lot of good plays. We're not getting that many locked. And then before I close this video, just want to remind you guys of the promo code that's going on the website right now. Okay, this is going to be valid up until the end of the Tour Championship. So new members get 50% off the 9to5 membership. Okay, use the promo code PLAYOFFS, and that will get you the 9to5 membership for just $5 a month. Best value you can have out there. But that's going to be all for this video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Let's have a good week. And as always, let's keep cashing.